This is Great FM.
The age of mental health and well-being, that is pretty much what we're in right now. It's a direct result of the digital age, many say, because, you know, information overload, heightened awareness, and of course, many other crucial factors have led to an emphasis on well-being and positive mental health like never before. A tide that's also washed over the nature of the workplace as well. Hi, everyone. Ahalya here on Great FM, Great HR's official podcast series. You're catching me on a brand new edition. And today we're going to be spotlighting employee wellness, employee well-being. You know, truth be told, it's always been an important function for HR. It's just the nature of it and the intensity of it that has really changed over the years, especially in the last two or three, as we've all been witness to. And, you know, a lot of it can actually be penned down to the fact that employee well-being is actually the core of HR, if you think about it. And, you know, as things have changed, the ideas of what employee well-being entails have changed as well. And that's pretty much worth exploring, right? So let's do that now with the help of Sanjeev Lahiri, CHRO GRP Group. So welcome, Sanjeev. How are you?
Hi, Leah. Pleasure. I'm good. Thanks. And you?
I'm doing really well, Sanjeev, and really excited to get into this because we do talk about, you know, positive mental health, holistic well-being a lot these days. But I really want to understand how that tangibly factors into the workplace. And I think you could offer, you know, great insights on that. So let me start you off with a simple one, just to begin with. In 22, you know, what does employee well-being really refer to? And what would make you look at a place and say, okay, this organization has, you know, nabbed employee wellness?
Well, you know what, in cricket, it is like those West Indian first fast bowlers, right? Uh-huh. On the West Indian pitch. And that's what your question comes in, particularly the second one. No. So basically, I mean, you said it while you were actually introducing the topic. Well-being in 2022, I think we have all understood and learned this this entire, you know, juggernaut. Mm-hmm. But what it means today, I think, to most of us, to most of people, professionals, it's going to be about the holistic well-being of a person, not okay. necessarily only on physical or, you know, or only emotional. Well, there have been a lot of jargons floated around, but I think it's talking about the holistic well-being of a person. Does a person feel happy, contented? Does a person feel that, you know, I mean, the person is able to bring him, I mean, him or her or whatever, you know, to, I mean, in their full self? I think that is what we are all aiming at. The other quick point is that now what factors will actually convince? Now it is really depend. This depends upon what an organization values, you know, earlier, because mm-hmm. end of the day, when I walk into an organization, I feel the vibe that will tell me, yes, this organization is in some form has done some work or doing some work of it. It is very, it is very difficult to actually say, but right. if the business parameters say that people are coming back to work, people are productive, attrition is within control, people are not falling sick or reporting sick regularly. Mm-hmm. The interactions, the personal interactions at workplace are very much within, you know, the way it should be. I think the organization would have done a good job.
Okay, so you've given us a couple of factors to definitely look out for, some uniform ones that can be used across the board. But also, I find it interesting that you say that it's important to understand the priority of the organization and then measure employee wellness according to that. Is that right?
True. Yes.
Okay, fantastic. And, you know, like I said in the beginning, employee wellness and this idea of it has really taken center stage over the past two and a half years, given the COVID-19 pandemic. What are some of the most relevant or important well-being, wellness trends that came out of that pandemic that you think should stay for years to come?
The first and foremost, the thing that we all understood that we are all humans in the first place. Mm-hmm. We are not robots available at whatever time that we need to be available.
Yeah.
I think that has been the greatest learning during this entire exercise across the world. The importance of the person behind the title. I think that has come that's come up in big way, and I'm sure it is going to continue. The great resignation opportunity, whatever we say, the lot of reshuffling happening at the workplace, I think all of these indicate to that trend. The other point is, and here I will talk more from the leadership context, because I think two things happened here. One is that the whole aspect of the leadership heroism, as I call it, because we are always looked upon that nothing can go wrong for the leader. We are always there like those Bruce Lee's, quote unquote, fighting all odds. But end of the day, we are human beings at the same way. If somebody is sick in my home, I am not my fullest at work. Let's be clear, right? I may, as a leader, I may also need help. So the first thing is for overall to understand the human side of leaders came out, and also leaders knew when they had to ask for help. So basically, the vulnerability quotient also probably came up. I think these are a couple of the human behaviors that we have seen very, very coming up. I mean, very well coming up during the pandemic, and I'm sure we are all now building upon those, because end of the day, the H in HR, or the human factor in business, definitely has taken a much bigger stage than it was earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've all been witness to that. Also accepting that for ourselves. I think a lot of us used to treat ourselves like we were those robots and sort of accepting accepting humanity has been a big learning that we can definitely see taking being important in business as well now. And speaking of, I want to sort of shift the gears and talk about the HR professional themselves. What are, say, top five behaviors that HR professionals need to master or imbibe in order to be, more sensitive, to the needs of employee well-being? How does an HR professional sort of calibrate themselves to that?
Well, a very important question, definitely for all people professionals. So thank you for asking me that earlier. Once again, I'm a practitioner and I'm a learner, so whatever I think, I will just share my thoughts. However, while I get in here, I will just want to maybe correct or redefine a myth. We always think that anything related to employees, like employee well-being, is an HR's deliverable, and here I would differ completely. It is definite. It is the organization's deliverable. It is the business's deliverable, not essentially an HR professional. Yes, we are the people who probably talk about it. We probably maybe are a little better equipped about it, but that does not say that, okay, we are carrying the mountains. We're saying this, the top five, I think the first point that all people professionals, and that is what makes us people professionals, is our connect with the employees, is our connect with our people around, not only with the employees. I mean, the moment I say employees, we always tend to feel it is our peers, subordinates, and teams below. We forget the people who sit in some cabins and spend their day alone. I'm talking of the leadership teams. So it is probably the first thing that all people professional must have is basically a very strong connect with the people around. Second, being sensitive to the situation, because whenever we come across situations of wellness, a person being, say, reporting sick, or the person not feeling well, quote unquote, we tend to immediately kind of get into problem solving mode, if I may, a firefighting mode straight away. Yeah, I think it is more important to be sensitive to that situation, staying calm, being able to handle that situation, being emotionally mature ourselves is, I think, point number two that I would leave all of us with. The third point, and here I want to, it may be an extension of the point two, which I just said, but delink the situation from the person. If somebody is reporting sick, say, frequently, or if somebody is raising a concern frequently, if somebody has a change in behavior frequently, we immediately tend to brand the person. We look at the person, but I think what is important is to just look at the situation, the triggers of the situation, so on and so forth. The person may not, the person may not themselves be able to do that. I think that is where our own, our own emotional maturity and the way of handling these things comes up. We tend to always, copy the best practices. Now, something worked with organization X may not work with us. So my point number four would be to find best fit, what works for us, what will work best for our people. And finally, to be the catalyst of this change. Whatever I'm saying is not easy. You know, this whole concept of bringing in well-being in the entire system, it's not easy. Because organizations, all of us have been trained to look at things very differently. Business equal to profits, performance equal to checking all the boxes. Yep, I'm human beings to work as robots for and for, I mean, so on and so forth. However, now when it comes to look, now I'm not feeling well, my deadlines may be missed. This needs a little bit of intervention, a little bit of different way of looking at things. Who is going to drive this? I think there is something we, the people professionals, can take a better lead and role. I hope I've answered you.
You have answered my question in full, Sanjeev. Thank you for that. And I think two really important takeaways. One, the whole one size fits all thing just doesn't work. It doesn't work with clothing, and it doesn't work with employee wellness either. And
That's it.
and definitely the idea of sort of observation and making sure that you're in touch with your colleagues' needs, your associates' needs and requirements, and all of us sort of, doing that together, which brings me actually to a thought that I had. A lot of elements at the workplace are working together all the time. Some of them are cultural elements, some of them are short term, some of them are long term. But I think, at least in my opinion, well-being seems to be a more cultural element that starts from within and then, permeates outward. Do you think it can just sort of survive as a part of an agenda and nothing more, or does it have to be looked at as a long term, cultural goal for the long haul?
A very pertinent question, and so if we just try to define culture. Now, I'm not now going. I'm not going into the books, but to me, culture means the summation of behaviors that I see at a workplace, the summation of experiences that I get in any workplace. For me, that's culture, not what we put on the boards or on the walls. You know,
Correct, yeah.
so if we say this, then a short answer to this question, maybe an agenda is only to start it, only to talk about it. However, it cannot survive unless it is becoming like the daily. I mean that's how we work, quote unquote, in that parlance. Therefore, it has to be a part of the overall organizational culture. Otherwise, if it continues to be an agenda for long, it will stay in an agenda and thereafter be out of the list for some time. In some time.
Okay, that makes sense. But what do you think? How do you think? Is it just the same things, the top five behaviors that you listed out for us before, that will help this become a more cultural shift rather than a, yearly priority?
Well, here I think now who decides culture is definitely the leadership. Who drives culture, once again, is the leadership. We like it or we don't. If we are not behaving the way we should behave, or we want others to behave, or whatever we have put out on the notice boards or on the walls, then culture ends there. So basically, so whatever I just tried to tell about those five pointers for the people professionals, I think similar pointers for the definitely for the leadership. More importantly, is to walk the talk, and walk the talk for everybody. Definitely starts with leadership, because if we as leaders do not walk the talk, we can't expect our teams to do that. So walk the talk becomes very, very important.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And in that vein, are there some, missteps or like grave mistakes that organizations should avoid in their attempt to cater to employee well-being? I'm guessing this is more of a game of balance and not so much extremes.
Absolutely, but one particular thing where what I have seen to bring down these wellness initiatives, interventions, is where people, talking about it, and when I say talking about it is about this happened to person X. It you have spoiled it then. Forget it. And particularly if you're talking of, see, well-being is not only about our physical health. It's all about, maybe our emotional, our financial, and so we you break it in whichever way it comes in. But end of the day, a person, like a person, and which also includes the social element to it. So say if two people had a brawl, and that talk is going, like spreading like wildfires in the organization, forget it. It's not going to happen once again. Incidentally, people are going to have more brawls and stay silent about it, and you will have more gossip mills running.
I think
So
that's
I
probably that roots from a culture of respect. I mean, if you respect people, you're probably
absolutely
not going to behave that way at
true, true.
all. And so any other missteps that you'd like to shine a light on? Anything else that you think, employee, I mean, maybe even on the HR side, things that HR should caution themselves against in order to,
More often than not, we get into this rigmarole. But I think people are getting more aware. First and foremost, HR as a function, or maybe we as an I mean we have a habit of just copy pasting. Let us stop that. And more importantly, it is also important. It is important for us to also walk the
Walk
talk.
the dog, right? Okay. Fair enough, fair enough. No, because I mean that is undisputable, I think, like in my past conversations as well with so many wonderful HR professionals right now, leaders in the field, it seems pretty obvious the link between the health of a leadership team and the work of the HR team within that organization. I think there's like a very direct link between those two things.
True.
And speaking of, could you also talk to us a little bit about the link between employee wellness and inclusivity in a workplace? Do you think those two priorities work together or should work together?
See, absolutely. It doesn't. So if you're not inclusive, and by inclusivity, I don't necessarily mean gender. I mean all kind of diversity that you can think of. Let me give an example. So say if somebody I don't want to take names of communities, but okay, let me refrain from that. So basically, a person who speaks a language, I mean, who is, say, from one any particular community, gets into an organization or gets into a team where there is a commonality of people, but this person is different. It may be a language, it may be culture, it may be their own outfit, whatever you say. Now, if this person is always being looked upon, frowned upon, not included, and language plays a very important role, that's why we have the business common languages, right? So if, say, for example, I can only understand English and Hindi. However, I'm in a place where the conversations around me, even informal discussions, is happening in a very different language, or in language that I don't speak or understand. However, I am a part of that. I think inclusivity starts from there. It is
Absolutely.
not about it is it has nothing to do with, or rather, it has a lot to do, but it has, I mean, once we use this word, we cannot always be looking at, the specific needs of genders or specific needs I mean, few other people, or people who are a little, who may be a little I mean, differently abled, and so on and so forth. Am I being able to include in my own work life somebody who is not like me? I think inclusivity there, and therefore it is a very, very integral part of overall well-being of an organization. If you have to categorize it, it very clearly falls into that, to the social aspect of well-being, which has a huge impact on the emotional part of it, thereby to physical.
Of course, everything is very, very connected, absolutely. And I think I want to wrap this conversation with, I'm being a little selfish here because I want to know if you've come across some really cool initiative, but what is the most interesting or innovative employee wellness initiative that you've come across in recent times? I always get really giddy when I hear about these cool things.
Okay. First and foremost, in our organization, what we follow is the power nap session. So 1:40 till 2 o'clock, At the corporate office, lights are switched off, and people have been trained to take these power naps.
Oh my God, you're being
Yeah,
serious. You
you
actually
are.
give everybody 20 minutes in the day to just sleep?
Yes, we do.
Oh my God,
And
that sounds like a dream.
if people think they're too important to have a call at that point in time, they're actually said, whosoever the person is, even if I need to take a call, I have to go outside the office.
Wow, yeah, because you can't disturb anybody during their power nap,
Because,
of
of
course.
course, no, I should
Yeah,
not. Yeah.
that would lead to
So
those
this
brawls you were talking about for sure.
is one that we do.
Okay.
I think there are a lot of other interventions that quite a few organizations have come in. So EAP has come up a big way. However, EAP now EAP has come up in various forms. At the same time, just just giving a phone number to talk, and where the person actually has no clue what is happening in the workplace, I personally think doesn't work
Okay.
as much. So we in our own organization, we have our this box, placed anywhere. So anybody wants to talk to anybody within the organization, you are free. Anybody who would wanted to talk with somebody outside the organization, professional people, you are free, and the organization takes 50% of that cost. As an
Wow.
organization, we have also done a huge mentoring exercise, so which is continuing, and it is included as a part of our recognition schemes. So
Okay.
spend a day with a leader, a few of these kind of things actually breaks these barriers, makes things much open, helps the leaders also to understand perspective of the people who are outside the room, and I'm sure these are going to help.
Yeah, I still actually can't get over the power nap thing. I'm absolutely in
Welcome,
awe of
please
that.
welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Sending my resume to GRP groups very soon. just to get those power naps. Thank you so much, Sanjeev. This has been a really enlightening and, like you said, a very humane conversation today. I've really enjoyed speaking with you. Thank you so much for giving us your time and your insights as well.
My pleasure.
This is Great FM.